Good morning and welcome. Greet each one of you in Jesus' name. And what an opportunity to be together again this morning. I want to make just a few comments on conference session. I'll be very brief about that. I did send out a report, and you may have read it. Brother Duane wrote that. And I would just like to say, I'd just like to take you into the room a little bit as it relates to a gathering of about 120 men who were coming to the realization that this is our last assembly like that. And that was sort of what took place here this past week in New York. And we realized that most likely we would not, in fact, the decision was made that we would not meet again that way. There was some thought that we would possibly do that yet in April. Reason for that is we are dividing into three separate groups, into smaller groups. That's the main purpose of that. And so as we concluded our collective meeting, one of the brothers said, we really need to, at the end of this, we need to stand together and bless each other by that great blessing of Scripture. And I'll just read it to you. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance and give thee peace. And that was the blessing that we blessed each other with. And it was very interesting as we just percolated through the rest of that day and into the next day, the amount of love and sharing that took place. And it was a very beautiful thing. And the Lord only knows what the future holds. But I was really encouraged by the spirit of peace and rest that was upon our brotherhood. And I think it bodes well for that which is yet to come. So we praise God for that. And I just wanted to share that testimony with you all. Turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 17. I just want to use three verses, particularly the third verse, as the launch of this sermon this morning. John 17, we know, is a common passage. It's a high priestly prayer, we call it. But I want to springboard, and yes, this will be a topical message. In other words, I'm not going to take one passage and lift out a lot of thoughts from it. I was given an assignment about 6-8 months ago and fulfilled it here in April by Brother Clyde. He reached out to me and wondered if I would bring a topic at a forum, Salt Forum it's called, where there's many, many folks that come from different countries who are involved in a particular work of savings groups. And basically it's a work that brings the gospel to the nations through interactions surrounding the needy and personal finances and so on. So these folks were coming for a couple days of instruction, and I had the privilege of being there for most of that time and hearing a lot of good teaching. And I had a slot that I was had responsibility for. And the topic that I was given was a topic out of three on relationships. And the topic that I had was relationship with God. Now, when Clyde gave that to me, and there wasn't really a reason to say no, the schedule was open, and I offered that we could come, I did puzzle a little bit over this title, because it's just such a generic title, isn't it? Have you thought about that before? Have you read a book that talked about relationship with God? Have you read a blog that talks about relationship with God? How much has been written? How much has been said about relationship with God? Those were some of the thoughts that went through my mind. And yet, those were sort of cynical, I acknowledge. And this morning, it's possible that that I could make more of this than what I should. It's possible. But I would suggest that in this topic, in this reality or lack of in our lives, lies the key to Christian life and success in it. And that's one of the reasons why so much has been said. And so I just want to share some thoughts from the Word of God and from my own, I guess, life experience, and just ponder this topic this morning. Now, if you notice here in John 17, verses 1 through 3, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, Jesus is speaking about his Father, Father God, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And so I focus on that verse 3, that they might know thee. We're thinking about relationship with God and knowledge of God. I had sort of in the introduction to that topic, I had penned this thought. God pursues relationship, and man has choices to make. However, relationship with God is essential for kingdom service for our lives as Christians. So I want to think about that introductory thought. First, God pursues relationships. I believe that God is engaged and engaging in his creation collectively and individually for relationship. God pursues relationship. He said this about Jeremiah in Jeremiah 1, verse 5. Behold, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. And so my point is this morning that God is interested in and pursuing relationship through across the ages, collectively in humanity, his creation, and then individually with you and with me. God is doing that. And so, yes, God is pursuing relationship, and we have choices to make. So in the very next verse, Jeremiah responds to that. And he says, then said I, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. And he sort of pushed back on what God was asking him to do. And so through the next couple of verses, we see that Jeremiah and God got this worked out. They did come to understanding of each other. And Jeremiah became Jeremiah and God worked in the closest of relationships and communion with God. As Jeremiah penned his message to the children of Israel who were breaking relationship with God by choices they were making. That was the heart of that. And so many times when you see those prophets begin to pen those words, it has to do with a group of people who were breaking relationship. They were turning away from God, and God was saying, I'll judge you for it. Don't do it. Here's your opportunity. I've extended this. I'm reaching out to you. And so we see that. And finally, in this sort of thought, relationship is essential for Christian service. Psalms 3, verses 5 through 6 says this, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding, and in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. If we wish to be engaging and partnering with Almighty God, if we're wondering about our future, if we're wondering what is this life have for me, what am I to do tomorrow, relationship with God is key in answering that question. In all thy ways acknowledge him, in all thy ways know him and walk with him, and he will direct thy path. So we don't naturally pursue relationships with a person who we reach out to by faith, do we? That is not natural. And that is one of our problems. That is why so much has been written, so much teaching has been done about this subject. But we realize that if we're to be about his work this morning, if we're going to walk in the path that he has for us in this life, we're going to want to be in relationship with him. And so I'd like to consider relationship, first of all. What does the word mean? Well, the word definition has at least these couple of thoughts. One is relationship is a state of affairs existing between those having relations or dealings. And so this definition points more towards what the relation looks like. You know, what is experienced or felt in this relationship? It's a state of affairs existing between those having relations. What is experienced or felt in this relationship? The second definition has to do with concepts or objects or people that are connected or a state of being connected. And so this definition points more towards how the relationship is put together and what it takes to survive or thrive. And so I would like to consider, if I've not lost you yet, those two aspects as we go through the sermon. What is experienced or felt in this relationship, and how is the relation put together, and what it takes to survive or thrive in a relationship with God. We want to explore those. This is a great big area that we need to consider yet before we go any further. We must think about the parties that are at focus here. Who are we talking about? We talk about relationship. Who are the parties involved here? Well, the one is Almighty God. The one party is Almighty God. And the other part of this relationship is just you and I. You and I. The created, right? The creator and the created. The one is perfect and holy and just and righteous and all-powerful and everywhere present, and the other one is not. The other one is weak. It's needy. It's broken. It's created. Think about the close relationships that you're involved with today. Think about those close relationships. Those close relationships are usually quite similar in social status, in interests, ability or opportunity. That's a part of many of our relationships today, right? It's somebody that we work with. It's somebody we go to church with. It's somebody who has, loves to throw disc as well. It's those kind of relationships. But not so in this relationship. There are not a lot of those natural things in common. And so that is an area of challenge, I suggest. You see, there was a day when I met a young lady when I was about 17, and it was about 3 years later. That showed a lot of restraint, didn't it? About 3 years later that I asked that young lady, and it was a Sunday evening. It was after church. We had met somewhere east of here at a church. A number of us friends did, and she was one of those folks that were there. And I had decided before going that this was the night. And we were outside of a friend's place after the church service and having a good time as youth do. And it was a beautiful late summer evening. And I said, could I talk with you? So step off to the side. I wondered if we could. Grow a relationship together. Would you be open to pursuing a relationship? And I got my answer right there on the spot. Yes, I am. And I was very happy about that. But you see, I did have some power in that relationship. I understood later that she was waiting for me to ask. There was something that I needed to do. But in the end, we were both the same. We were created beings in a broken and needy world. And yet, what a beautiful relationship has grown out of that original request. And so, brothers and sisters, this morning, we are considering a relationship where the created has been given an opportunity to come into relationship and community with his creator. That's what we're thinking about. The one, as I said, who is perfect and holy and has all power, by his choice, by his request, God has chosen to enter into close community and relationship with a partner who is limited, powerless, imperfect, and naturally unholy. That's what we're thinking about this morning. And I think there's good reason for us to stop and let that soak in, because it's key to us understanding. And so if I could somehow impress upon us this morning, if I could renew in us the wonder, the awe, the possibility of relationship with God, perhaps that would be enough. Perhaps that would stir us enough. And so I asked you, what does this other partner in this relationship, what does God in this relationship look like to you? How big, how good, how worthy of my time and my love? And so I have 3 points that I want to develop the sermon with. The first being possibility, the possibility of relationship with God. Possibility, possibility, option, likelihood. I like this word possibility, the possibility of relationship with God. I felt like that word gave me some scope for the imagination, if I can quote Anne of Green Gables for just a moment, some scope for the imagination. We're thinking about possibility, the possibility of relationship with God. We must remember that possibility also includes quite a range of things, including this first sobering option for us, and that is that you and I have the opportunity to reject or cut off the advances of God in my life. You and I have that choice. Possibility of relationship with God includes the option for you and I to say, I'm not interested. For you and I to reject, to turn away, to walk away from. I believe that's included. And that's a sobering reality this morning. But beyond that, I like this word possibility because it opens the door to a great big spectrum of relationship. Possibility opens that door in my mind. We're not all at the same place, brothers and sisters. There are brothers and sisters in this congregation who I would suggest, who I'm quite confident, have cultivated and developed a closer, a deeper relationship with Almighty God than I have. I accept that possibility. What I'm suggesting to you, let's take away the you and I from it. I'm suggesting to you this morning that it is possible that, and it's a fact, that in this body, there are men and women who have a deeper, more vibrant relationship with Almighty God than others. And so that spectrum is before us. What are the possibilities in this relationship? They are as big as God is. How big is that? I don't know. I don't know how big that is. But I think perhaps the account of Enoch gives us just a little bit of insight into that, doesn't it? Enoch, what did Enoch do? He walked with God. Enoch walked with God. And by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now that's relationship. And inside of that relationship, it ended with God saying, Enoch, I just want you here with me. That seems to be the account. Think about it. Possibility. The possibility of relationships. And so inside this point of possibility, I want to consider three aspects. The first is a question. And as I considered this possibility, my mind went back to the very beginning of relationship. And that has to do with Adam and Eve. And we know the account. Eve made some choices. Eve made some choices that brought her into sin with God. And Adam chose to join her in that. And then, the next thing we read in the account is God arriving on the scene. And as God arrived on the scene, from the accounting of Scripture, the first thing that God did was ask a question. What was that question? What was the question? Where are you? Did God not know? Did God not know where Adam and Eve were? I cannot speak for God. And I'm not going to try to speak for God, but I suggest that he did know where Adam and Eve were at. And so the question wasn't so much for God and his wondering, it was for Adam and Eve, wasn't it? And the question of where are you, to me, opens up some understanding about Creator God, and he is still asking that same question today. Where are you? Where are you? And that is a question. He could have simply showed up at their side there as they hid and confronted them about their sin. But this question was not about God, was it? It was about Adam. This question was to confront and teach. This question was to cause Adam to look inside and speak of what he saw there. And so, brothers and sisters, this question is still being asked. I believe God is still asking you this question? And we see that cry from God's heart up through time. God had the same question for Cain. Where is your brother? As he considered his actions there against Sodom, God stopped by, sat down with Abraham, and in relationship told him about what he was considering to do. And he wanted to hear what Abraham had to say. And he heard what Abraham had to say. Think about the woman at the well. Woman, give me to drink. Was Jesus thirsty? Did he ever get that drink? I don't know the answer to either one of those questions. But it was a question to get her to look inside. It was a question to open up a conversation. Think about Nicodemus and Zacchaeus. This morning, God is asking the question yet today, brothers and sisters, where are you? And I believe I am speaking to a group this morning that is in relationship with God, most certainly. And yet God's still probing. The question still stands. Will you grow? Will you draw near? Will you rely on me for the situation that is so much bigger than you? Will you do that? Will you rely on me? Second thought here under possibility is that God knows all about us. Psalms 131, verses 1 through 3. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou hast known my downsitting, my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou hast compassed my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. This morning, well, as I recounted the moment that I asked for a relationship with my wife, I still had a lot to learn about this young lady, right? I didn't know everything about her. That was the purpose of beginning a relationship. And I still don't know everything about my wife. But it's different in this situation. God is reaching out to mankind, and he already knows everything about your life and my life. He knows it all. God knows it all. And I think that is how should that shape our thoughts? He knows me. He knows my end. What a person to enter into relationship with. Perhaps you haven't yet started a relationship with God. God already knows everything about you. And it's an okay thing to start a relationship with the God who knows all about it already. Everything about your life and my life. God knows all about us. In all this knowledge, he has chosen to walk with me, to commune with me and you, to comfort me and you, to convict me and you, to give me understanding and ability. That's what God's about. He knows all about it. And so how humbling it is, but how great the possibilities to know that our partner in this relationship is able and already does have such intimacy and understanding about you and I. And my third thought in this possibilities point, in Christ, God has shown us his heart. You know, there's one thing about relationship. You want to know how much, not how much the person knows, but how much he cares, right? Relationship is built upon love and trust, and those things take time. We already know that God has shown us his heart in his love to us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Romans 5:8, but God commends his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 2, verse 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. It is the gift of God, and so on. Those are so familiar verses, but we're thinking about them in the context of relationship. And I suggest to you the possibilities of relationships with God. We already have this truth. In Christ, God has shown us his heart and that his love and his mercy to us. I want to think about the second point of this sermon, We've been thinking about the possibilities of relationship. The second is the qualities or requirements of relationship with God. You know, we're thinking about what we've experienced in relationship, and now we're going to think a little bit about that second definition of relationship, having to do the qualities, like what makes up relationship. Well, there's no end to that writing, right? What makes up good brotherhood relationships? What makes up good marriage relationships, and so on? I'd like to just consider a few here. We've been thinking about how God has, what God has invested into relationship, and here I want to think about choices we have to make, necessary investments for this relationship to prosper. God's looking, if I may be so bold to say it, God is looking for participation and partnership. God is looking for teamwork and collaboration with mankind. He has chosen to do that. Don't understand all of that, but he's chosen to do that. And so the first point under this qualification or requirements is this thing, this idea or this quality of faith and pursuit. Hebrews 11 verse 6 tells us, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We're thinking about faith. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. We're talking about faith and trust. Faith is tested in many ways. You know, what is faith? Well, it's a belief. It's things that we reach out to and we accept, we lay hold on them. It's partially knowledge that we receive, and it's also God's Spirit working within us. It's made up of a number of things. Faith is tested in many ways. It can be tested in natural things. It may be money or resources that we need. It may be health or just the logistics of life. You see, our faith is tested. How are we to put it all together? So faith is tested in the natural things. Faith is tested in spiritual things. Our hearts cry for someone who we would like to see, or that we're praying for them to receive Christ as their Savior. They cry for our children. They cry for those that we're discipling. Faith that is tested, faith that is lived out, grows and becomes strong and vibrant. And this morning, faith is key to relationship with God. And pursuit of that, pursuit of God, is how we experience that faith. It takes more than just to believe, yes, I believe that God is. But it is in the testing that we face, be it natural situation in this life, be it spiritual things that we face in this life. Faith and pursuit. Pursuit is how we experience that faith. And as we put our faith into action, as we pursue God by serving and working with him and for him, we grow in relationship. That's what's dynamic about this. It's part of that possibility, because there is an initial faith. There's a childlike faith. There are the beginnings of relationship. And then through the testing of life, through testings in life, through those difficulty things, through those things that we just don't want to experience, it's in those moments that we're able to pursue God, that we're able to actually rest in that faith. It's through those testings and through that proving that faith and that relationship is grown. We grow in relationship. And so faith and pursuit, those two together are a key quality of relationship with God. The second quality I'd like to consider is humility and meekness. 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7 says this, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care on him, for he careth for you. Scripture also tells us that God resisteth the proud and gives grace unto the humble. And so the quality that's required for this relationship is humility. And I feel like Isaiah expresses it so well in Isaiah 6, verse 5, when he says, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Humility. Humility at its core is simply understanding that God is great and I am not. That is a simple understanding that God is great and I am not. And meekness is power restrained. Meekness is an outworking of or action of humility. You can feel humbled in your heart. You can have lofty thoughts about the greatness of God and the fact that I am not. But that becomes real when meekness is a quality of my life. Show me a meek man and I'll show you an humble man. Are we able to accept wrong? Are we able to be falsely accused? Are we able to hold our tongue? Are we able to restrain our spirit? Are we able to take joyfully the spoiling of our goods? Meekness is humility in action. And so relationship with God is grown where humility is present in the heart and meekness and gentleness is evident in our actions. And so a quality of relationship with God is humility and meekness, those two together. And then a third quality that I have, and the final one here in this section, is discipline and commitment. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We reach out to that verse. It's one of those verses you hear, and I love this verse as well. But for there to be relationship with Almighty God, there's a quality that must be part of my life, and that is these qualities of discipline and commitment. You see that verse? That one of the reasons why I brought that verse in here is because in my studies here a while back, I was looking at this verse and I began to look at each one of the meanings of the words that were in this verse. And I came across and I realized that this word sound simply means disciplined. I almost felt let down just a little bit because I've often looked at this verse and God hath not given you the spirit of fear and, you know, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I want to receive all of that. And then I realize that this sound mind has something to do with me. It's choices that I make, a disciplined mind. And I don't know, many long time ago preached a message on the battle of the mind, and I still believe that is one of the key areas of battle in your life and in my life. It has to do with our minds and what it is that we're allowed. And trust me, I suggest that the older you get and the more life experience you have and the more possibility of heartache, of blessing and challenge, the more that you have to wrestle with in your mind. And God desires us to have sound minds, and it's discipline. And so this morning, for us to have a relationship with God, it requires a discipline and commitment of the mind. We cannot go by feelings. Relationship is a choice and commitment that we need to press into, even when times of dryness or coldness have overtaken us. And this relationship with God doesn't always feel like a bubbling, vibrant place. And so it requires discipline and commitment, this a quality that must be part of my life. You know, discipline is really about good, better, best. I don't want to make it too negative of a word. But for us to grow in relationship, it requires discipline. And it's going to help us to go from a place that's, let's just say, good, to a place that is better and even best. Discipline's going to also call us to cut things out of our lives, cut out distractions. Do it, brothers and sisters. Cut out a distraction, and God will meet you there. And I find that I need to keep recutting from time to time. But I have also found that when I cut something like that, God is ready to meet us at those places and replace it with vibrancy, with blessing, with relationship. And so consider that in your life. And so again, so much of our struggle happens right here in the mind. You see, relationship is such a dynamic thing. And when we bring discipline to bear in my life, and make choices to promote and encourage relationship with God, he will be faithful. God is faithful. And so my final point is the fruit of relationship with God. Fruit of relationship with God. First fruit I'd like to note here is peace. Peace in the storm. We like peace, don't we? Peace is good. And there's no doubt but that God, in this relationship with you and I, in our development of that relationship and our honesty in that relationship, will bring peace into our lives. And peace that comes in challenging situations, in challenging times. I think there should be an overall, you know, but there should be an underlying, there should be like a benchmark, like a baseline of peace in our lives when we're in relationship with God. But I think I would like to suggest, or I want to encourage us this morning, that in the difficulties of life, God will meet us at some very interesting spots with peace, a peace that you don't understand, a peace that surprises you. And in the greatest conflict of our lives, in the greatest stresses of our moments, there is some greatest peaks of peace that are outstanding. And they're only experienced in those difficulties. And it's still, even in those moments, we wonder about our faith, we're struggling with our faith, we're struggling with trust. And this thing of faith and doubt, they're like so close together. And then suddenly you'll realize that what I'm experiencing right now, I did not anticipate. Where does it come from? It comes from relationship with Almighty God. And there's different testimonies of that that I could share, and I'm certain that you could share as well. Relationship with God brings peace in the storm. Power is a big word, isn't it? Power. Relationship. A fruit of relationship with God brings power in need. Sort of closely connected to peace. Power in need. Our world is interested in power. They pursue power. And power in and of itself is a destructive force. Unchecked power will corrupt any person. But we're thinking about power from Almighty God. We're thinking about power from this relationship. Holy Spirit clarity and stability. Just simply new grace for a new day. The heart to take up work far outside your comfort zone. Relationship with God does bring power into our lives. And almost always this power comes to us in places that we're outside of our comfort zone. It just is that way. And I can testify to that. I think you can too. You've noticed those moments when you may have suddenly realized that you have an opportunity or you're being called upon to give a testimony for your own belief, your own faith, and suddenly out of your heart and out of your mind comes some thoughts that you're able to share, and you wonder, where did that come from? It comes from relationship with Almighty God. It comes with an existing condition of your heart and your mind. And out of that comes this moment, comes this ability. And it's true that we shouldn't be careless, but one of the problems we have is we're naturally sort of careless. And we're not as disciplined as we wish we could be. And we would like to be perfect so that we're always ready at a moment's notice to just be able to deliver. But that's not the human condition. I'm not advocating recklessness at all. I'm just suggesting to you that God is providing to us. One of the fruits of this relationship is power in our needs. And let's seek that out. Let's praise God for that. And let's recognize it in the moments that he gives it to us. God would like us to experience power. And finally, a fruit of relationship with God is purpose. Purpose in the slog. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Just, what's this all about? It's another baby. It's another breakfast. It's another washing day. It's another day just to get up and turn out life's work. And I'd like to say there's just one great big exciting moment after another in life, but no, even Jesus, as he walked the roads, he got tired, he got hungry, he was exhausted, and yet he rose to the moment and he fulfilled his calling. And this morning, a fruit of relationship with God is purpose in the slog. In understanding that we're here for this moment, that we're going to fulfill our responsibilities, that we're going to, by God's grace, take up this work, this challenge, this relationship. We're going to do that by God's grace, and God gives us purpose in that. It's not just another Bible study. It's not just another instruction class. It's not just another sermon. It's not just another Wednesday night service. But there's purpose in this slog. And this purpose is about fulfilling the call of Almighty God. Purpose in the slog. Purpose in the burnout. Purpose in the disappointments. Where there is lack of clarity and vision, relationship with God brings some purpose to those moments as well. We do go up and down in those, but it does bring those moments. Purpose in the slog. Relationship matters. Relationship makes a difference. Protecting and growing relationship with God is key to Christian maturity and the Christian graces. Protecting and growing relationship with God is key to Christian maturity and the Christian graces. It's key to holy living and productive service. And so, to each one of you, go with God. Never lose the awe, the wonder, and the possibility extended to each one of us by Creator God. May God bless you all this week. Let's kneel for prayer. Almighty Heavenly Father, we kneel down here before you this morning. And Lord, we are we're just blessed again this morning by considering your greatness and this opportunity that you've given to us to enter into and to grow, to live in relationship with you. And Lord, I do pray that you would help us. I pray that this knowledge, this reality, would translate into lives that are pulled towards you, of holiness, of putting off the old man and putting on the new, of running the race, all of those areas that you desire to see us abounding and growing, ministering to others. Lord, we sense the weakness of our flesh, and so I pray that you would refresh us anew again this morning. We thank you for peace in those moments. We thank you for power in our need, and we thank you for purpose in our moments of cloudy days and situations that just confound us. And so, Lord, may you grant your peace upon us. Help us to go out of these doors and consider this simple thought of possibility of relationship with you. And we ask it in Jesus' name.